Joining us right now is Rob O'Neill. He is was a Navy SEAL, and he is the man who killed bin Laden. He is also the author of a new book called The Operator, but he has been decorated more than 52 times among his honors, 2 silver stars, 4 bronze stars with valor, a Joint Service Commendation Medal with valor, 3 presidential unit citations, and a Navy Marine Corps Commendation Medal with valor. Rob O'Neill, welcome to Mornings on the Mall. How are you?
Thank you, Mary. I'm well. Thanks, Brian, for having me.
Good. Yeah, well, I wanted to talk about this book, The Operator. It's a memoir. And this recounts your SEAL missions, which are just extraordinary. And this is probably something that the SEALs never really, but in the past, have gotten to talk about. I think it's only recently that Navy SEALs have come forward and really talked about some of the things that they have done. I think they were pretty much unknown to the American public for a long time. I'm going to assume, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, that the Osama bin Laden raid probably went down as your most exciting one.
It was the most famous one for sure. Exciting, yes, but it wasn't the most complex. And there are actually better stories in the book about it. We put it in the title, The Operator. But this book is not about me. It's about the life of the operator, and it takes it's from where I grew up in Butte, Montana, as a guy who didn't even know how to swim, who joined the Navy to become a SEAL, and the adventures that happened after that. After I finished the really hard SEAL training, the life that I lived with all the other operators, the other SEALs, and the missions that we did even pre-9/11 that were exciting. Obviously, post-9/11, what we did in Afghanistan, and I was involved with a lot of the high-profile missions. My team was the group, the stories in there of how our part in the rescue of the lone survivor, Marcus Luttrell. We were involved in a coalition that did that, but it's on a different end. The guys that, obviously, with Luttrell, 4 snipers went in. 3 were killed. 1 was captured. A helicopter was shot down. After that happened and 20 Americans were killed, we were the guys that were sent in, but we had to walk in because no one would fly us. There's other stories about the awakening in Iraq when we were fighting Al-Qaeda in Iraq, which is now ISIS, how we fought them every single night. There's a story in there about on my birthday, April 10th, 2009, I was pulled from my daughter's Easter tea party at her preschool and was in the Indian Ocean 6 hours later, and we rescued Richard Phillips on Easter. And then the bin Laden raid is like, especially for this group of guys that were picked, that was probably old. Each guy there probably had between 300 and 400 missions already under their belt in real world combat.
Wow.
Myself, it was over 400 at that point. And so it's the bin Laden story is in there, and it's a different aspect. It's the first book that has been written and approved by the Pentagon. So this is the real deal. And it's other stuff that happened on the bin Laden raid, stuff that people don't know. A lot of people know the account, but they don't know. Nothing classified is in there, but people want to know, how did it smell going up the stairs? You know, what did your brothers look like? When we knew we were facing death, but we did it anyway for the victims of 9/11, for this country, you know, to get vengeance, I guess, is the way a warrior would say. And that, you know, that's all in there. And it was amazing to be a part of all those missions,
wow,
including the bin Laden raid, which was, we thought, a one way mission. The chances of not coming home were very, very high on that one, but we did it anyway willingly. So it's a great memoir, and it's a life story.
I can't wait to read it. And you know, one of the things I noticed about in reading the initial reports about the bin Laden raid was that it didn't go exactly as planned. I mean, this is the thing that I think is so amazing about what you guys do, is that you go in, you plan relentlessly, you have a plan, and then all of a sudden one of the helicopters crashes on the way in, and you have to sort of make it up as you go along. You have to be very able to sort of bend to whatever happens.
We'd been able to do that. These are some of the most experienced operators we had at our SEAL team that went on this raid, and what we'd learned before is, it's great to have a plan, but the only time the plan works is when you're planning. When you leave, a guy called Murphy shows up and everything changes. We had been a week and a half into planning. The actual plan for the bin Laden raid was perfect, and we were standing around one night talking about it, and one of the very tired bosses said, "All right, what's the worst thing that could happen?" And one of the new guys, the younger guys there, said, "Well, the helicopter could crash in the front yard. Maybe we should, I don't know, talk about that for 30 seconds." Yes, we did, and that's exactly what happened.
And so you actually war gamed that possibility. Oh, that's amazing! Yeah,
we tried to think of everything, every contingency as it were. You know, have it be about around a base plan, but just let your tactics that we've rehearsed ad nauseum over and over. They'll take over. You know, you'll know what to do when you see it.
So what keeps you going? You talk about being involved in the rescue of Captain Richard Phillips and also the rescue of Marcus Luttrell, who, by the way, plugged that book as well. Lone Survivor's fantastic. I had the honor of interviewing him. Phenomenal rescue. I had no idea you were involved with that, so I cannot wait to read your book. What keeps you going? Where do you say, okay, this is the apex of my career, this is the apex of my career, and you just keep going back and going back and going back?
What kept me going personally were the men and women around me, because we for lack of a better term, we kind of all lived in a bubble where all we knew were people doing the same thing, so we treated it as a job.
Are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you. Go ahead,
okay,
please.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we treated it as a job. Everyone around you was doing something similar. Everyone's going to war. Everyone's going to Iraq and Afghanistan. People were rescuing other people, so we saw it as normal. And he's doing it, I'm doing it. I did get out of the Navy before 20, after the Bin Laden raid. I did one more combat deployment after the Bin Laden raid. But at that point, I stopped getting adrenaline and gunfights and realized I would get complacent, just make a bad decision at some point, and that's all you need to. One of the sayings is that complacency kills. And after we lost a helicopter, a helicopter extortion 17 was shot down a few months after the Bin Laden raid, and we lost a bunch of guys from our command and a bunch of SEALs and Army guys, and that's when I decided to hang it up.
Well, I can understand that. I mean, and is it hard to, when you know things are going on around the world now, to not want to be involved somehow?
It is difficult because I know the guys are ramping up to do a lot of good stuff. I know obviously we have what's going on in Syria, both with the Assad regime and with ISIS and Al Qaeda over there. The North Korean thing's heating up. Iran's always a problem. And I mean, if someone called and asked for me to be a part of a team to go to Syria, I would consider it, even though it's not going to happen. But yeah, it's hard not to get in there.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it is just amazing. Well, I can't wait to read the book. Robert O'Neill, the man who shot Bin Laden, the name of the book is called The Operator, Firing the Shots That Killed Osama Bin Laden and My Years as a SEAL Team Warrior. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.